The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is September the 16th in the year of 2016. It is a Friday afternoon headed into the weekend. Hope that you all will go into this weekend, but being fully aware that you do live, in fact, on a battlefield as people just continue to get gunned down in the streets every day. I'm not just talking about by cops. I'm talking about any gunman that's out there. So we always got to be on our P's and Q's, as they say, especially when we're out in public. By no means should you let your guard down when you are at home, but you just have to take certain precautions. And one of those things that could save your life is what I call defensive living. It's very similar to defensive driving. For those who took driver's ed may know what I'm talking about. And that's when you're driving in a car, just being aware of all the activity on the road around you. People might be hiding, or cars might be hiding in your blind spots. So you always want to check your blind spots. You just want to be aware when you approach intersections. You don't want to just go through the intersection without a care in the world, because people are known to run red lights and blast through these intersections, and we don't want to see anybody get T-boned and have their necks broken. I actually had a relative get killed that way, and she was on her way to a funeral. Another family member had died. So defensive living is what I'm talking about, and I'm not trying to say that you won't become a victim if you practice these things, because anything can always happen. There are many variables out there. Today, topic, we don't have a guest scheduled for today, but I have plenty to talk about. And as always, our listeners are invited to call in and share their news stories or to give their comments and opinions on the news that is being shared on today's program. That telephone number to get in, there's a couple of telephone numbers you can get in on. The first one is the conference line, which is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. You just hit *6 and 1. That'll signal me that you have something to say. You could use the web-based flash phone using the same numbers as well. The studio line, that is 704-951-5030. Again, the studio line is 704-951-5030. Now, I do want to go over some brief news items of the day, things that I have posted to our new BTR community social media platform, which was built as a safe space for black people to congregate online, to share information, have interactions, and what have you in a safe digital space. There's no censorship. None of that is going on. No data mining. None of that kind of stuff is going on this new platform. But I do want to share some of the news that I shared on our new social media platform. But let me just, before I do that, tell you what the main topic for today is. For those who saw the headline for today's program, the theme is, what is the U.S. Constitution to the victims of the 13th Amendment? And you may have noticed the image of the scroll with the words of the 13th Amendment upon it. Now, again, I don't have to remind regular listeners of Black Talk Radio what the 13th Amendment says and what it says and what it implemented with its passage. And what did it implement? Well, quite, I think the evidence shows that it implemented prison slavery. It took the slavery out of private hands and then put it into public hands. And now you can still practice slavery, but you first got to convict people of crimes based on dubious laws, laws that would not even stand up to constitutional muster if the Constitution had been in fact written and applied equally to everyone, which we know even to this day here in 2016, that is not happening. All right. So, but today is Constitution Day in the United States. Today is the first time that I noticed that today was Constitution Day. In 2004, there was the omnibus bill, which they pass, I think, every year. And all the omnibus bill is a bunch of pork barrel spending by Congress, is how it's been described. But in the 2004 omnibus bill, there was a law included in that legislation that made September the 17th, again, this goes back to 2004 when this was passed into federal law, marking September the 17th Constitution Day, or also known as Citizens Day. So today is Constitution Day. It isn't the 17th, but if the 17th, the law says, if the 17th falls on a weekend, then Constitution Day will be on a weekday that is adjacent to the weekend. Now, this law also mandates that schools, public schools that get federal funds, are supposed to do educational exercises, I guess essays, student give speeches, their lesson plans on the Constitution. And that is mandated by law. Again, this is a dictate from the federal government to the public school systems. Again, these public schools that receive federal funds are mandated to have educational exercises related to Constitution Day today. Now, how did I notice this? Well, I was on Twitter this morning tweeting about the national prison strikes against prison slavery that have been going on since September the 9th, but have been getting very little corporate media attention, very little black media attention, to be honest with you. So that I noticed in what was trending on Twitter in Constitution Day 2016 is a hashtag that was trending on Twitter. So I was like, what is this Constitution Day? Let me look more into this. And, you know, by the way, are the people tweeting this? And I tweeted at a couple of people, including a high school, no, I don't think she was a high school principal, she was a grade school principal, who tweeted a photo of herself and little school children, black and white, along with some firefighters and a police officer, and they were doing a Constitutional Day activity. And I tweeted at that principal, I said, please make sure that you tell the children, specifically those black children, about the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that did not, I repeat, did not abolish slavery. I tweeted that at a couple of other or something similar to a couple of the other people who were celebrating Constitutional Day and tweeting out pictures of racist white slavers signing the Constitution and all of that, a couple of representatives. And I consistently kept bringing up the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. I also asked my fellow abolitionists to take advantage of these social media hashtags when we can relate them to slavery as it exists in this country. So that is what the main topic is today. That is how I came up with the question. Well, actually, the question is a play on a untitled speech, but which is known as "What to the Slave is the 4th of July," which was given by abolitionist Frederick Douglass on July the 5th, 1852, when he was invited to give a 4th of July speech. Again, this is in 1852. Again, I'm not saying that slavery was abolished, but this was pre-1865 slavery, pre-Civil War slavery. Again, slavery was never abolished. It was legalized and constitutionalized in the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So, again, given that we have victims of modern-day slavery on prison plantations all across the nation who are striking, doing work stoppages, and refusing to allow themselves to continually be victimized by the 13th Amendment. Again, I got to ask the question, what is the U.S. Constitution to the victims of the 13th Amendment? So that is the main topic for today. But before I get to that main topic, as I stated, I do want to go over some of the news items that I shared today. But the first thing I want to do is I want to respond to a listener who left a comment on our broadcast or the podcast page, which is what it is now after the broadcast. The promo turns into the podcast, but we did a program that I titled Black Rifles Do Matter. That was a program I did 2 days ago on September the 16th. And the person's name isn't important, although they made it public. I'm not going to do that because I don't want it to seem like I'm calling this person out or anything like that. But this is what I have to say to, I'm going to read to you what the listener posted as a comment and my reply. The listener left a comment and said, "Scotty, I have listened many days, all day. I even bought a t-shirt." Let me give a correction. You made a donation and you got a free t-shirt as a thank you gift. And we certainly appreciate that contribution. She goes on to write, "Another baby got killed in Ohio by police over a supposed $10 heist, which the victim wanted to forget on September the 14th. Talk, talk, talk. I'm tired of talk and no action. All these so-called pundits should be leading protests at all police stations across America. Oh, but that is work. Good luck, but I can no longer listen to some talking heads with no action. Our babies trump everything." Now, it sounds to me like this person is suffering from battlefield fatigue. She's reading battlefield reports, and she read this report of another black child being gunned down by police officers. For those that don't know the story, there was a 13-year-old who had a BB gun. Again, another case of not just Tamir Rice. He hasn't been the only child who has been shot by slave catchers while holding a BB gun. But this happened in Columbus, Ohio, earlier this week. They said that he had a BB gun. Slave catchers had gotten a report of a robbery, an armed robbery or something of the sort, and they were responding, and they came across these three black youth, and I think I read two of them immediately took off running. And then, now again, this is just what I'm hearing from the media. I wasn't there. I haven't seen any video. But the slave catchers are claiming that the young man then, well, I shouldn't call him a young man because he's just a boy. The young boy, only 12 or 13 years old, again, around the age of Tamir Rice, the young boy allegedly lifted up his shirt and pulled out a BB gun, which I read also had a laser sight on it, and that it was also did not have the orange tip that I guess BB guns now are manufactured with, so that people know the difference between them and a real gun. So that is what she's talking about. Now, I didn't know how to take the comment. I didn't know if the comment was directed at the talk radio host on this network. I don't know if she was just talking about pundits, talk radio pundits in general, period, on the radio. I don't know. So I basically, this is what I wrote. I'm going to just tell you what I wrote. I said, I don't understand your comment. This is a talk radio network, and many of these issues don't get discussed unless we report and relay information. Everyone has a role to play. Our role is, and always has been, to report news and host discussions of that news. Our groundbreaking radio program, New Abolitionist Radio, has interviewed those who are doing and not just talking. There are plenty of people doing and not just talking. Just yesterday on Black Talk Radio News, you heard from a doer, and I'm talking about Brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. He was with us yesterday. Please check out that podcast. But just yesterday on Black Talk Radio News, you heard from a doer asking listeners to do something and get involved in the Turn Off Killer Radio campaign. Campaign launching next month. I believe it launches on October the 15th. Yes, I'm sure it launches on October the 15th. So I'm saying, what would you like to see happen? And she did say she want to see all these people demonstrating at police departments all across America. So she did, you know, I did not remember that or take that in consideration when asking what does she want to see happen. And I asked the question, are you involved in any actions in your local community to confront these issues? If you are, we would love to report on those efforts so others might join. So again, I'm saying I don't know who the comment was directed at. But I would also say, you know, we've seen people demonstrating and holding protests at police departments all across the nation. We've seen that. Has it done anything? Well, yeah, it's done something. It's continued to keep the issue in the limelight. It is causing headaches for the slave catchers and putting them on blast and what have you. But has these demonstrations actually led, again, I am not one of those who talk trash about people who march and people who protest. I know there are some black people in our community who say marching don't do no good and protesting don't do no good. But I'm not one of those people, because it is just one tool, one strategy that should be in your war chest, in your toolbox, so to speak. The demonstrations and protests are meant to do several things, but first and foremost is to send a message to the powers that be that whoever's participating in the march and protests are angry and that they want to see change. Usually they might present a list of demands and you know, people will rally and speak. And it's also exercise in rallying the troops in what we call unity building exercises and things of that nature. So marching and protesting, it has its place, but it's not the end all be all, you know. And so I really appreciate all those who organize these marches and these protests across the country. I really, really do. But you know, to her point, she said that's what she wants to see. And I'm not against that. And in fact, there probably are right now people out at these places demonstrating and protesting. But just because you don't see them on mainstream media doesn't mean it's not happening. So this is a very large country, has hundreds of millions of people in it, and there is no way for us to know at any given time who's doing what. Who's doing what. So I feel her frustration. I feel her battlefield fatigue. And if the comment was directed at people on this talk radio network, I just have to say, you know, those comments are misdirected. But again, I'm not mad at you because I know your frustration. But I would like to play a couple of clips of the person who motivated me. And I got to give the racist credit for silencing my voice on their platforms. They motivated me as well. But as I may have mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, when I saw this video of Malcolm X speaking on the power of media, is like a nuclear explosion went off in my brain. And I knew what my role, what my individual role based on my individual skills and talents were to be in this movement. And what movement am I talking about? I'm talking about the centuries old movement on this continent and globally to make Black Lives Matter, for Black liberation. It has gone under many different names over the centuries, but the aim has always been the same, and that is to liberate Black people, non-white people, from the injustices and the terrorism directed against them by a white racist slaver society. Okay, so let me just cue up. There's a couple of clips, if y'all will be patient,
when I was in England,
that I want to share of Malcolm X. So let me just go to Google, and you all can repeat these steps, and you'll find these same videos that have been posted. Let me just go to google.com, because that's the quickest way for me to get to the videos that I want to see. So I'm going to type in YouTube and Malcolm X on media. So let's go ahead and just play some of the clips, different clips. None of them are over 2 minutes. Well, close to 3 minutes, one of them. But this is Malcolm X talking about media manipulation, talking about police brutality and violence in the role of the media, and also talking about the power of the media in general and the role of the media in creating images and demonizing Black folks and whatnot. So, you know, again, everybody has a role. Different people have different talents. Different people have different skill sets. And there is a place in the movement for you to utilize your skill sets. Everybody is not meant to be out there demonstrating, marching, or leading these efforts. Everybody is not meant to be part of the organizations that's drawing up legislation and then presenting that legislation and demanding that it be passed by the powers that be, demanding body cams on cops, just demanding a whole lot of stuff that would we hope bring about justice and, you know, create situations where we have the evidence where these people can be held accountable, even though we know video after video can show murder. But if it's a cop or even sometimes a vigilante white racist like a George Zimmerman, and yes, he's white, I don't care what color his parent is, it's how he identifies, and he identifies as a white person, he identifies with his white father. All right, so but you know, it's again no guarantees. So anyway, let me quit talking and let Malcolm X explain to you why the Black Talk Media Project exists, why I do what I do on this network and why other people on this network do what they do. All right, so here's the first video. Malcolm X exposes media manipulation.
Mr. Muhammad teaches us that man is judged by his conscious behavior, and the conscious behavior collectively of the white race toward non-white people has been the type of behavior that is practiced only by a devil or devils.
So then, in essence, you feel that white men per se are devils?
He teaches us that God told him that the white race is a race of devils.
Teaching this kind of a doctrine of hate and a doctrine of separationism, is bound to inflame the passions of people, wouldn't you imagine?
The deeds that the white man has committed against black people is what is inflaming black people. There's no teaching inflames anyone. It's what you do to a man that inflames him. And if the white man wants black people to love him, then he should do something to warrant that love.
The entire Negro population, the group, feels the way you do about it. I think they're probably more than willing to live, take their share of the world that's available to them, and enjoy themselves in it.
How about you? I have no comment at this time.
If he doesn't think that very many Negroes think like I do, then he is being mighty naive.
Do you think that Negroes are going to continue to live in a society where dogs can be sicked on them at will and not do something about it? You're out of your mind.
Is there anyone here that would like to comment after having heard what Mr. X said?
No, I don't.
How about you, sir? Would you like to comment?
Just a black person.
I don't agree with him because I'm not a follower of Muhammad myself. I think that all people have been mistreated in some form or another, but I don't agree with him. I don't follow Muhammad. I don't think anyone should follow one man. I think they should follow their own conscience. I think the main problem of most Negroes is that they feel sorry for themselves, and I think that this keeps them back much more than they would be if they didn't feel so sorry for themselves.
If Martin Luther King, Roy Wilkins, or any of these compromising Negroes who say exactly what the white man wants to hear is interviewed anywhere in the country, you don't get anybody to offset what they say. But whenever a black man stands up and says something that white people don't like, then the first thing that white man does is run around to try and find somebody to say something to offset what has just been said. This is natural, but it is done.
All right, Mr. Muhammad, stop that one there. Wow, early proxy racists they found. And again, if you study media, if you pay attention to media, like I pay attention to media, the same tactics are used today. Take Colin Kaepernick, although I know some black people don't view him as black and they want to attack him just like the white races are attacking him. But regardless of his parentage, he is black. He has a black parent. He identifies as black and he's standing up for black people. But what will we see? What do we see? Well, we get these full-blooded black people, apparently, that the media is able to find to say something against what Colin Kaepernick is standing up for, and or standing up against, or kneeling in demonstration against police violence and brutality. But they'll find a proxy racist like Shaquille O'Neal. They'll find a proxy racist like Ray Lewis. There's no shortage of these proxy races. I mean, the white racist media has it down to an art, down to a science. And then there are just these proxies who are standing around who just can't wait to show white people that they don't think like those other. We're not like those other black people there, and everybody's being oppressed and all that kind of garbage. This is Malcolm X talking about police brutality in the mainstream media.
The controlled press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element. The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is in the, on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed, whether he is educated or whether he is dumb, whether he's a Christian or whether he's a Muslim. As long as he is black and a member of the Negro community, the white public thinks that the white policeman is justified in going in there and trampling on that man's civil rights and on that man's human rights. Once the police have convinced the white public that the so-called Negro community is a criminal element, they can go in and question, brutalize, murder unarmed, innocent Negroes, and the white public is gullible enough to back them up. This makes the Negro community a police state. This makes the Negro neighborhood a police state. It's the most heavily patrolled. It has more police in it than any other neighborhood, yet it has more crime in it than any other neighborhood. How can you have more cops and more crime? Why? It shows you that the cops must be in cahoots with the criminals.
Wow. Again, he's talking about the media. Things that we see happening today. And that media propaganda has to be countered. Okay? It has to be countered. And unfortunately, we have lost many of the independent black radio stations, even television programs, and what we lost all of that. So we can't even really inform ourselves, but I'm getting ahead of myself because Malcolm is going to speak on that aspect of the media. But there again, same tactics all this time later. Again, it's not just that we're still suffering from police violence, police terrorism, police brutality, slave catching in our communities, but the media is operating the same as it was operating in the 1960s. That is why you see the attitudes and hear the attitudes from suspected racists that you see today that was prevailing back then, because the media programming has not changed. It has not changed whatsoever. It hasn't changed. And just to his point that this tells you that the cops are in cahoots with the criminals, just yesterday in btrcommunity.com, I posted Stop the Drug War is the platform, but every week they publish an article that they call Corrupt Cop Stories of the Week. And it just has all these different stories of cops involved in crime, all kind of heinous crimes. This comes out every week, all right? And so oftentimes they are involved in drug dealing, gun running, selling drugs. We look at the Oakland police sex scandal, where not only were they having sex with an underage sex worker, but also was aiding and abetting her prostitution in the streets by giving her information about when they would be conducting prostitution raids and exercises, things of that nature. So yeah, oftentimes they are. I can point to the DEA agents who had the sex parties down there in Columbia paid for by the drug cartels. I can point to the deal the DEA had and probably still has with the Sinaloa drug cartel, which gave them a free pass to smuggle drugs and guns to Chicago and from Chicago to other urban city centers throughout the United States. So yes, there's evidence for this. This isn't just people talking, and it was going on then and it's still going on now. But it's the mainstream media reporting this stuff? For the most part, no, they are not. Here's the next one. Here's a clip. It's only about a minute and 10. He's giving an interview, Malcolm X, that is being interviewed by a racist suspect. And he's talking about the power of media to this racist suspect. This is actually a video clip I posted for the Black Talk Media Project when we first launched in 2008. So I published this one on December the 29th in 2008.
So instead of legislation, in my opinion, it takes education. The whites have to be re-educated so that the racism that they have in their heart can be eliminated, and the and our people have to be re-educated so that we will know how to do something for ourselves instead of waiting for others to do it for us all the time.
Well, how will that re-education be brought about?
Well, just as in World War II, this country could use its news media to propagandize and make the whole American public love the Germans and the Japanese, rather love the Russians and the Chinese, and hate the Germans and the Japanese. And then after the war, they changed it and made the American public love the Germans and love the Japanese, hate the Russians and hate the Chinese, which shows that they can make the American public love whom they will and hate whom they will. And that same process can be used to re-educate the American public and show white people how to love black people and show black people how to do something to stand on our own feet and solve our own problems.
Now, this is what I want to comment on what he said. Now, on this network, Black Talk Radio Network, you will find not just on this station, but, for example, Blacks in Business Radio. Blacks in Business Radio, trying to teach people how to do something for themselves through entrepreneurialism. Okay? New Abolitionist Radio, we talk about strategies and tactics. We talk about the law. Yeah, we report on various stories related to 21st century slavery and human trafficking as legalized by the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But we also strategize on different tactics on how do we end slavery in this country. And there are things that are going on behind the scenes that people aren't just privy to. So it's not just a bunch of people talking on the radio. We're not just talking, but we are doing in the streets. Just because you don't see it don't mean it ain't happening. In fact, Max Parthas, who is one of those, and I say this sarcastically, one of those mulattoes that's on Black Talk Radio Network, who has been very instrumental in traveling across this country and meeting with large groups, and even got a meeting with the Bernie Sanders campaign, but, you know, talking to state representatives and whoever will listen at these different events about abolitionism in this country. And I think that, and I can't leave out Yohanan, who's doing what he's doing in on the ground in a St. Louis area where he lives. So, again, media is very important. If not for the media, and I don't say this to toot our own horn, but for as I've been watching the national prison strikes and watching some of the videos of the abolitionists who are staging protests outside of these prison plantations and hearing them use language like slave catchers, prison overseers, slave masters, talking about the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, which legalized slavery. As I hear the, and again, I don't know. I'm hoping that it was some black people out there demonstrating, but I know most of the victims of prison slavery who are demonstrating are the majority of them are black, because they constitute the largest percentage of the victims of modern day slavery. But from what I've been seeing, most of the people on the outside providing support to these prisoners in their demonstrations against prison slavery have been white. They have been white, and they have been using the correct language and saying that this is slavery. Now, 4 years ago, I was not hearing that. 3 years ago, I wasn't hearing anybody use this language. 2 years ago, I wasn't hearing. Everybody was calling it mass incarceration because that's what, because Michelle Alexander came out with a book and it was widely publicized and talked about in the what? In the mainstream media on white people's platforms, okay? And that is how they were, mass incarceration, the term mass incarceration came into popular usage. But we refused to use that word. Or if we used it, we also made clear that what we're talking about is the continuation of slavery in this country. I don't believe if New Abolitionist Radio had not launched on this network 4 years ago that we would be hearing people talking about the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery and that prison slavery is going on and all the states, the federal government, and private corporations are profiting off of this modern day slave labor of these victims. I highly doubt that the highly publicized, highly respected black filmmaker Ava DuVernay would not be making a documentary film where she's already made it. It won't come out until October. But that film, documentary film, The 13th, examining prison slavery, would not have gotten made. I know these things to be true. None of this stuff would come to, we could argue, wouldn't be coming to fruition. The Department of Justice would not be talking about canceling private prison contracts. None of this movement would not happen if all we were doing is just talking. But again, people have to have information, and they have to, more importantly, have the correct information in order for them to take action. That is my humble role in this movement, is to do my best to make sure that people are getting the correct information. The last thing that I want to share is a documentary. I want to call it a documentary. It's not really. It's about almost an hour long. I posted it to btrcommunity.com's video section. The name of it, and you can also find it on YouTube, is Malcolm X on How the Mainstream Media Operates.
Oxford University, we had a debate at the Oxford Union, and before the debate, I was with several of the students, and we were discussing a variety of things for a couple hours at a dinner, and at the end, toward the end of the dinner, a girl that had been one of the diners pointed out, she said, "You know, you're just not what I was looking for." So I asked her, "What were you looking for?" I knew what she was looking for. She was looking for the horns that had been created by the press. And those horns mean she was looking for someone who was out to kill all white people, who was a segregationist, a rabble-rouser, irrational, an extremist, subversive, seditious, someone who couldn't hold a conversation with just anyone. This is what she was looking for, because she was looking for something whose image she only knew from what she had read by a very biased press, a press that has perfected image-making to a science. And then they use these images to make people love whom they will, and hate me they will, not based upon what the people themselves discover for themselves, but based strictly upon the image that the press wants to create and then project to the world. So in both instances, they didn't see the horns. Perhaps the horns were there, but they were well hidden. So I take that, I just take time to mention that because it's very dangerous for you and me to form the habit of reading, of believing anything completely about anyone or any situation when we only have the press as our source of information. It's always better, if you don't want to be completely in the dark, to read it, but don't come to a conclusion until you have an opportunity to to do some personal, first-hand investigating for yourself. And if you ever are going to hold a position of leadership, along with which goes a great deal of responsibility, my advice to you would be just that, to be very careful about letting others create images for you. Always examine for yourself. The American press, in fact the FBI, use press to create almost any kind of image they want of anyone on the local scene. And then you have other police agencies of an international stature that's able to use the world press to create images of anyone whom they want or anything that they want. And if the press is able to project someone in the image of an extremist, no matter what that person says or does from then on, is considered by the public as an act of extremism. No matter how good it is, it's because it's done by this person who has been projected as an extremist, no matter what it is or how good it is or how positive it is or how constructive it is, the people who have been misled by the press have a mental block, and the press knows this. If the press can project someone as subversive or a group as subversive, no matter what that group does, is looked upon as subversive. They could run and save someone from drowning in the middle of the Hudson, but it's still, the act is looked upon with suspicion, because the press has been used to create suspicion toward that certain image. If a person is projected by the press in an image that's an image of irresponsibility, then no matter how responsible that person's actions may be, the people look upon that act as an act of as an irresponsible act. And I point these things out especially for you and me, those of us who are trying to come from behind and not get ahead, but at least get even. If we aren't aware, we'll find that all these modern methods of trickery that they have perfected to a science will be used, and we will be maneuvered into thinking that we're getting freedom or thinking that we're making progress, when actually we will be going backwards.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. Again, that is from a speech that he gave or lecture that Malcolm X gave, I should say. And it's about 44 minutes long. You can listen to the rest of it. Again, the title on YouTube is Malcolm X on How the Mainstream Media Operates. We have also posted this to btrcommunity.com for our members of that social media platform. All right, so again, I played all this. I spent all this time on here is because people need to understand the importance of media. They need to understand the role of media. We need to understand how black media has been destroyed, and I'm saying independent black media. I'm not talking about media with black faces, with a black face put on it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about independent media, black media, where we will bring you some of the news, like he said, from the mainstream, but we will decipher it for you. We will tell you where they're lying. We will show you how they're trying to manipulate you. I just did a video today for a new segment that we're going to do on our YouTube channel called Media Watch, where today you have in the news, they keep talking about Donald Trump, and birtherism and his accusation that Hillary Clinton started birtherism. And so how the mainstream media coverage today is the exact opposite of how they was covering Hillary Clinton and birtherism in 2007, 2008, and 2012, where the mainstream media itself showed her connections and her campaign's connections and all her little racist supporters who came up with a movement called PUMA, Party Unity. See, they wasn't going to unify behind Barack Obama, and many of them voted for John McCain because they're racist. So I did, you know, explaining that the media's lying to you now, not just explaining, but showing you the reports that Hillary Clinton was part of that. So the media always manipulating you and lying to you I feel, and I admit I'm biased because I'm the one doing this work along with others, obviously. So I'm very biased. I think the work that the Black Talk Media Project is engaged in is very much needed. It is very, very important to have, and more importantly, our plans for the future. The whole reason, one of the reasons that we launched BTRCommunity.com and made it a subscriber-based network, where you have to have a subscription, which is just $24 a year, $5 a month, or $1 a week, is because we know the white man is not going to fund an independent global black media network. They're not going to do it. They are not going to help me build a communication network for black people globally. They're not going to do it. They're not going to fund it. And nor am I seeking funds from them to do it. So it's going to be built by us, if it's going to be built at all. It is very important we establish our own media networks. And we way behind, you know, but better late than never. We way behind. 1996 Telecommunication Act did a tremendous damage. And so, yeah, the cards are stacked against us. So we got a lot of work to do. But hell, if we can make an impact on modern slavery just from one radio program, New Abolitionist Radio, and of course it wasn't just because we were doing other things in addition to New Abolitionist Radio, but if we can have that impact that we have had with the Black Talk Radio Network, I believe that we could have similar impacts on a local level by building localized media centers, creating digital radio networks, and indeed digital social media platforms targeting those communities, targeting the black people in those communities. So that's what my mind is on. I've had people try to recruit me to different movements, and I have supported them as best I can, like the 1 million conscientious voters and contributors movement, which you can find at iamoneofthemillion.com. I've had some of the leaders of that movement on this network to tell you about what they're doing, how you can get involved. Okay. So, but I've had other people try to recruit me to take me away from my main mission, that I feel that the creator would have me be on the path to doing, inspired by Malcolm X, and have me, you know, join their networks in like Black Youth Wall Street USA. Woman tried to recruit me on air and make me a regional director, some kind of title, but I'm not, that ain't what I want to do. While I do support black businesses and circulating black dollars or recycling black dollars in the black community, but how do I support? Well, I support that by bringing you on this network to talk about what you're doing so people can get information. And if that's an area that they have skill and they want to join, then they could join. That's why we have Blacks in Business radio programming on this network. But the main focus of the Black Talk Media Project is to build a mass media communication network, starting here in the United States, but make it extend globally. I will go as far as the people allow me to go with the funding. So I thank you for your comments that you left. I understand your frustration at the death of another black child, and it won't be the last one, you can bet on that. But if you need to take time off, because that's what I try to do, I get down, I get depressed reporting all this bad news. I try to include some good news where I can, but I get tired. I get mentally drained just reading all of this stuff. I just get tired. So I try to stay away from the computer on Saturday and most of Sunday until the evening, when I have to broadcast time for Awakening Radio on the station. But you have to recharge. You have to sometimes step away. You have to. because this can wear on you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Even in the United States Army, they gave, when I was in a war zone, they gave us 3 days of R&R, rest and relaxation. Sent us to a ship out in the Gulf of, I'm not sure which Gulf it was, Gulf of Arabia, I'm not sure. But we was on this boat where we could drink alcohol and do whatever it is we wanted to do to let off steam and what have you. Because the military understands that of the pressure of war, and that you have to give people time off to recharge their batteries and what have you. So, sister, it sounds like you need to get some rest and relaxation. Get some rest and relaxation and then come back and do whatever it is God, whatever name you go by. I don't know if you're an atheist or if you're a spiritual person or if you believe in a creator, but come back and do whatever it is you need to do. Find your role. And you've already done something. You supported the work of the Black Talk Media Project with your $25 donation, for which you got a thank you t-shirt. This network don't exist without people like you. So you're the, somebody might say, well, you ain't doing nothing but complaining and all listening. But no, you put your money where your mouth is. You didn't have the skill. Apparently, you had to recognize the power of media for you to even consider making a donation to us. So you recognize that skill, something that you may not have the time or the skill to do yourself. So you fund a net, you funding an organization that can carry out that mission. And again, it's much appreciated. So please don't take my words the wrong way because of the tone of my voice, because, you know, a lot of people misunderstand me or misinterpret, you know, because of the way I speak sometimes. But this is not an attack on you. This is just giving you some clarification about what Black Talk, why Black Talk Radio Network was created in the first place, and what the long-term mission of the Black Talk Media Project is. And we hope that you will, yes, if you need to turn off the radio for a little bit to get away from this news, these battlefield reports, by all means, do that. Do that. Do that. But please don't give up on us. There are many fronts to be fought in war. I learned that in the military. You got all these different divisions in the military, different unions, different sections, however you want to describe it. And each of them focus on one particular area. When I was in the military, I was focused on the area of communications. Battlefield communications, all type of communications. You had others who were focused on killing people. You had others who were focused on maintenance and making sure that helicopters can fly without any problems and tanks can roll without breaking down. And so, I mean, there are many different skills. It's many different skills that need to be employed in war. So find out what you are most proficient in. And if you need to do something, do that, do that, do that. And if you can't for whatever reason, then give your support to somebody who is doing. That's all I got to say on that. When I come back on from this break, I'm way overdue for a break. I'm supposed to be taking them every 30 minutes, but sometimes you get sidetracked and you forget when you are the radio host and the technical producer. So I'm going to take a station identification break, and then when I come back, I want to talk about the main topic. What is the U.S. Constitution to the victims of the 13th Amendment, as we have all these people celebrating Constitution Day today? Which officially is supposed to be September the 17th, but the law states that schools have to celebrate it and do propaganda exercises on a weekday if the 17th falls on a weekend. So we will talk about that. Again, what is the U.S. Constitution to the victims of the 13th Amendment? and what is the 13th Amendment, but the mechanism in the Constitution that allowed for the continuation of slavery and involuntary servitude, why thousands, an untold number of prisoners in facilities, prison plantations across the nation since September the 9th have been demonstrating and protesting. Listening to Black Talk Radio News, my name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We're going to take a message music break so I can get some water. I'm feeling a little bit hoarse, and then we'll come back and we'll jump on our main topic. Again, if you have any questions or comment about anything that has been stated on today's program or about this main topic, give us a call. Conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you want to comment on air. And hold off on the studio line because I'm going to get some water, so I'm not going to answer. But when we come back, you can hit us up on the studio line, 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Jails in America are being privatized, and they are on the stock exchange, and you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy. So when they're building prisons, they want to build them, but they're building them for you.
I look around this room and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have... Oh boy.
But now they've got to create a culture in the community that lends to violence, crime, drugs, guns, prostitution, and it's a steady pipeline to prison. Atlantic Records. See, these are the real safeties. They have to be exposed, brothers. You rap, and in your rap there's a beef with another rapper. And you get real, you know, fiery about it. And you're talking about drilling down.
Around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have.
You want to kill your brother. So that's the kind of rap you're doing. And then the radio stations are complicit. Because if you make something clean, they don't want to play it. So when you come to the record executives with something clean, but it's got a good beat, hey, that's nice, but see, if you keeping it real. And keeping it real means keeping it as it is so that it will never change.
these forces are being given weapons that are only used in military theaters of war. So when you see the police armed like they are, that's not to serve and protect. That is to kill.
I look around this room and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have...
Now look at the money that's being given to rappers to continue the drill kind of rap. This is the hardest core rap that there is. It's killing,
I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. And that was a perfect clip from Sincere Naquari. You can find, he's a beat maker. You can find him at sincerenaquari.com. And he does have a new project that's about to come out. But that's a perfect track to set the stage for what we're finna talk, what we're going to talk about, or what I'm going to talk about. Certainly interested in hearing from others if they have anything to offer. But what is the U.S. Constitution to the victims of the 13th Amendment? Now, let me read the 13th Amendment. Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So Section 2, in my opinion, is just as important as Section 1, because what did Congress do following this passage of this amendment to the U.S. Constitution? Again, today is Constitution Day. That's why I chose this topic. But what did they do following the passage of the 13th Amendment? Well, they started passing what's known as the Black Codes. Okay, they started passing vagrancy laws, criminalizing people who were unemployed, loitering, meaning that if black folks, more than five of them, were standing on a public street just having a conversation, that a slave catcher could come along and charge them with a crime. They could get convicted by all white juries and given a ridiculous sentence to prison slavery, where then they would be hired out to the plantations that some of them may have been formerly enslaved on, hired them out to the railroad companies so that they could lay tracks all across America, uniting the North Coast, the East with the West. All right. And they even give you hints of these things in some of their films and in television series like Hell on Wheels, which is a fictional cable series, which is set in the 1800s after the Civil War, of this white man named Bohannon. I forget his first name, but he's like, you know, this guy who was a former Confederate soldier, and he put down his arms after the Civil War and he went to work for the railroad. And in a couple of episodes, you could pick up on the black men that were working on the railroad were in fact prison slaves, sentenced, hired out by the prisons to go work on this railroad. And Bohannon would bring that up to them, that anytime they wanted to go on strike for higher wages or better conditions, hey, you're supposed to be in prison. You can go back to prison if you want to. That's where you want to go? You want to go back to prison? Huh? You want to go back there? Is that where you want to go? They knew this is the new form of slavery. So that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about, is all these other people are on social media under the hashtag Constitution Day 2016, tweeting out all of these wonderful, nice little sayings about the Constitution and how these racist white men, many of whom were slavers, created this document that set it apart in human history and made this country the shining city on the hill. And nothing could be, man, all of that is nothing but mythology that has been promoted through what? Through media. But when you take a honest recording or review of history, you see that the Constitution don't mean nothing to the victims of slavery in this country, nor the free black people in this country and what have you. Like I stated to somebody, it was some representative who tweeted out a picture of these white men with the Constitution, an image of the Constitution. And I asked him, well, where was the black people, the free black colonists and the enslaved African that helped them beat the British and allowed them to create this new nation? Why weren't they invited to the Constitution Party? What was this, some kind of secret invitation only party or something like that? How ungrateful were these men? You couldn't win without black guns, black people with guns. You were getting your butts kicked all over the place by the British, who had sense enough to employ black guns on their side. And racist George Washington, the so-called first president or CEO of the United States of America, had lost 6 of 9 of the battles in the American Revolution. 6 out of 9, and he only won the last 3 after he lifted the racist ban on in the Continental Army that prohibited black colonists and even enslaved Africans from picking up arms against the British. So again, this country is steeped in racism and slavery. That's what I think about your Constitution Day. And of course, I didn't get any kind of reply. Well, I got one reply from a racist suspect who said, if you do the crime, you do the time. You know, he has an intellect of a rat. And so I know how to deal with these people. I've become pretty good at counter propaganda. And so whenever I hear somebody try to justify prison slavery, whatever they're calling it, mass incarceration, whatever, if I'm dealing with a suspected racist, usually of the right wing conservative kind, I just tweet to them a picture of a quote from Ayn Rand, a conservative icon, white racist suspect woman, who said the only power government has is to crack down on criminals, and when there's not enough criminals, one merely creates them. And that is what Section 2 of the 13th Amendment did. It gave them the power to create criminals that they could convict in their racist courts and then sentence them back into slavery. Many of these corporations exist to this day that profited from slavery. And many of those same corporations today are still profiting from slavery, whether they're using prison slave labor, or whether they're investing in the private prison companies, whether they're utilizing the products and the services that Unicor prison slaves produce. And Unicor is a corporation, a private prison corporation owned by the federal government. Now, DOJ can talk all it wants to about divesting itself or no longer utilizing private prisons, but I ain't heard nothing about shutting down the federal private prison. Because they, you know, I guess they say that their slavery practices are a lot more humane than the slavery being practiced by these private corporations like Geo Group and Correction Corporation of America. So that's what I think about their Constitution Day. And it's just quite funny. It's quite funny. So let me just go to Twitter. Again, this social media hashtag, it started on Twitter. I wonder if it's still trending. I don't think. Yeah, it's still trending. It's been trending all day. Constitution Day 2016, where you got a bunch of racist suspects and confused black people sending out tweets about the Constitution and how it guaranteed all our liberty and freedom, which is a doggone lie, because as I tweeted at one person, I said, okay, if the Constitution guarantees us all this freedom and liberty, then explain to me why this Chicago police officer just got charged by the federal government with the violation of the civil rights of two teenagers that he shot. Didn't kill him, but he tried to. And now he has been indicted by a grand jury. Did that piece of paper guarantee that their rights and liberty be respected? Has that Constitution guaranteed the rights or liberty of anyone in this country? It doesn't guarantee anything. It's just a piece of paper. That's all it is. Especially like this one person tweeted. Let me see if I can find that tweet, because I found it so succinct that I retweeted it. But they name stuff. Okay, I can't find it right away. I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking for it. But to paint you a mental picture, this person noted all of the government surveillance programs, the torture, the government-sponsored torture, talking about the CIA, and of course, police torture people too. All kind of reports about it. The massive spying program that was revealed by Eric Snowden and the what is it called? The National Defense Authorization Act, which Representative Barbara Lee, actually, I signed a petition she had put out there about the NDAA, which strips people of their rights and liberty. And she says she was the only person in Congress to vote against the authorization of the national, what is it called again? The NDAA. The National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA. So excuse me. But she said she was the only one. So that piece of paper don't guarantee anything. In fact, that is why people are in the streets today protesting. That is why we have athletes taking the knee. That is why we have athletes raising the black power fist. It's because that Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is not guaranteeing anything when it comes to non-white people in this country. Not a thing. So again, I will just keep pointing to you that the Constitution was enacted by a bunch of racist white supremacists, people who created their own little kingdoms on the backs of enslaved Africans and what have you, and they fully intended for the Constitution to only apply to them. Not even white women were given the rights to vote or anything like that. That's the roots of this. When your roots are rotten, how can a tree bear good fruit? It can't. And that is why this tree is still bearing the evil fruit today. It's just ridiculous, man, that so many people will buy into all of this propaganda. It absolutely makes no sense. You have to ignore a whole lot of injustice that is going on in this country, or you just have to be a person that don't give a damn about the injustices that's going on for you to ignore all of this. So, Constitution Day, they just come up with all of these holidays to continue the promotion of mythology. Well, I really don't have anything else to say. I'm not one that likes to hear myself talk, and we don't have any comments from anyone else. But again, you ask yourself this question, or ask anyone this question: what is the U.S. Constitution to the victims of the 13th Amendment? I will say this. even after they get out of prison slavery, the society has set it up for them to become prison slaves again, to keep that revolving door going, if you will. Because once you become a prison slave, even after you have, quote unquote, done your time, you still are denied the right to vote in many states. You are still denied the right to own firearms in many states. You are denied certain business licenses if you have a felony conviction. So the cards are stacked against you. So it ain't no do your time. If you do the crime, do the time. Even after you do the time, they still want to continue to criminalize these people and make life hard for them to reintegrate into society. In fact, they don't want them to reintegrate into society. That is why Section 2 of the 13th Amendment gave them power to continue to punish them, lifetime punishment as a prison slave. I'm reminded of the caller from Wisconsin who said that it's bad out here for people like him, and that he can't promise that he won't do anything that they have deemed, quote unquote, illegal, just so he can keep a roof over his head and his family's head, or just so he can keep food on the table. I mean, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Starve? What are we supposed to do? Go homeless? And the United States certainly has a very large homeless population. So again, everything that they say is crime is not a crime. I only view things as a crime as is when they harm another individual's or deprives another individual of his right to the pursuit of liberty and happiness. All that, anything. If you steal from somebody, you interfering with their rights to that piece of property that they worked hard and paid for. If you do something like that, if you rape someone, if you kill someone, you have in fact committed a crime against another human being. But if you engage in trade, in consensual acts of trade between consenting adults, I don't give any government the power over me to tell me what I can and cannot do. Indeed, the only force they have behind that is the threat of force. Hence why we got the largest population of not only prison slaves, but slave catchers. It's a farce, and many people are living in a false reality. And it is not that we bring these things up because we hate this country or everyone in this country. It's because we're tired of living a lie, and we want it to mean what they tell everyone this country stands for but does not. So that is my program for today. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio Show may or may not be on air. Brother Dave, he informed me that he was going to be taking a week off to handle some personal business. But Brother David said Wednesday that he would fill in for him Friday. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I will check. If he does make himself available, Tando Radio Show will be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Black Talk Radio Network. So keep it locked. Tell other people about it. Also, again, the only way that this media continues to go out to the people, the only way we get this information out, is by the contributions of our donors to the North Carolina-based Black Talk Media Project. Donations of $25 or more will get you a Black Radio Stations Matters t-shirt. We'll send you one of those as an appreciation. You can also get a subscription to our new social media platform, BTR Community, which has been around for about 2 weeks now. So there are a number of ways that you can support what Malcolm X identified as the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. I played a role in helping the United States military during the Gulf War build the world's largest tactical communications network so that they could communicate, the different units could communicate with each other and coordinate their attacks on non-white people. And I have to redeem myself for my role in that. So I have this vision to create a mass communication network for black people. That is the way I can redeem myself. That stated, this is the weekend. A lot of bad things happen on the weekends, although we know they happen every day. But on the weekends, you have a lot of people who consume a lot of alcohol and other drugs, and you know, they can cause problems for you. So that is just another thing you got to watch out for when you out there. And remember, you got to practice defensive living in this country, meaning you got to always be aware of your surroundings. I'm thinking about the young man who was killed in Philadelphia. I forget his first name, last name, Cologne, cousin of Meek Mill, standing outside a restaurant talking to another individual, or somebody snuck up on him and shot him in the back of the head. You have to be aware. I'm also reminded of the black dude who was sitting in his car singing as he was streaming himself singing on Facebook, and then somebody walks up on the car and unloads bullets into the car. Luckily, nobody died in that instance. But again, you have to always be aware of your surroundings and everything in your surroundings. I'm not blaming any victims for becoming victims. I'm just trying to push this notion that you can minimize the chances that you'll become a victim if you practice defensive living. Also, I call it battlefield awareness. So lots of bad things happen over the weekend. So y'all just be safe. And we'll see you back here on Black Talk Radio News this Monday. But there is always some programming going on. If it's not on this station, live programming, that is, we have other independent black radio stations on our network, blacktalkradionetwork.com. So just keep a check on the network, become a subscriber, and you can get updates of when there is a program, a live program being planned. And of course, share the podcast, share the network. Just tell more and more black people about the network so that we can continue to span our reach globally. With that said, peace and blessings to all, and y'all be safe out there.